I'm Nathan Cones here with your look at the midday news for this Friday, July 31st, 2026. The Lanesboro Betterment is hosting the Farmer Olympics tomorrow, and organizers hope for a crowd of spectators to cheer on the teams as they determine who's best suited to the rigors of agriculture. The event begins at 4 p.m. in Lanesboro City Park with a slate of challenges such as the Farmer Fit Check Relay, the fastest fenced off, the load strapping contest, and more. The beer garden and concessions open at 4 p.m. with the games themselves getting underway at 5 o'clock. Once a winning team has been crowned, participants and fans will be treated to entertainment from Big Daddy Addy, who's emceeing and DJing the evening. Saturday also marks the beginning of Lanesboro's one-year clean shave challenge, where participants will submit their unbearded faces to see who can grow the best beard by the end of July 2027. Raffle tickets are still available from the Lanesboro Betterment for $20 each or $100 for six tickets, and that's to win a pallet of beer, and I expect that to be a pretty hotly contested prize. The winner for that will be drawn Saturday evening, and entries must be submitted by 8 p.m. that night. Money raised during Saturday's Farmer Olympics will be used to help fund Lanesboro's 125th anniversary celebration, which is scheduled for July 30th through August 1st of next year. Links to tomorrow's schedule and the quasicentennial preparations are included with this story on our website. Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa is expressing some frustration with Republicans and Democrats over the perceived unwillingness to address the Social Security program's looming fiscal cliff. Current projections suggest that Social Security's coffers could be depleted by as soon as 2032, just 6 years from now, if adjustments are not made. Grassley says Congress has been aware of the growing problems for more than two decades, but addressing Social Security is politically fraught for politicians from either party.
The last time I worked on Social Security, if you remember the 2004 election, George W. Bush ran on a platform of extending Social Security and solving the problem that hasn't been solved yet. I was chairman of the committee, and I knew you'd have to have a bipartisan approach to get anything through the United States Senate. So the Democrats didn't want to sit down and talk to me at that particular time. The lead on the Democrats was a very close friend of mine. In fact, when he was chairman or I was chairman, all but two bills in 13 years got out of committee that was bipartisan. So when they didn't want to work with us early on in 2005, I thought, boy, if I can get all the Republicans on the same wavelength, I would be able to force Democrats to the table. Out of 11 Republicans, I could only get 9 of them going in the same direction.
Senator Max Baucus of Montana did serve as the Senate Finance Committee's ranking member for the Democrats in 2005. Any further efforts to adjust or amend Social Security since then have fizzled, and Grassley says Congress needs a level of bipartisanship not really seen since the 80s.
In 1983, when it was in the same form, same shape, just about ready to cut benefits, Democrat Tip O'Neill got together with the Republican President Reagan, and they solved it in such a way that it got almost 100% of the votes in the United States Senate. Well, the bottom line, that bipartisanship hasn't come together. And I've come to the conclusion the reason it hasn't come together, there's no Reagans and Tip O'Neills in Washington, D.C. anymore.
The Social Security amendments of 1983 extended the program's solvency for another 50 years, but the economy, American workforce, and global environment have significantly shifted in those 50 years. Social Security reform has become a game of hot potato, as the Republicans and Democrats fear the backlash that adjusting benefits will bring on the majority party in control when the changes are made. Democratic gubernatorial nominee Rob Sand made his way to Jefferson on Thursday for a town hall event. This public forum comes as part of Sand's 100 town hall tour, which he's done every year as state auditor, and now he's doing on his campaign for governor. After time with the press and an introduction from the moderator, he provided a background on himself, and Sand took questions from the crowd. Those questions included subjects like environmentalism, propaganda, public health care, and state employees. Keep an eye out for that. Carol Broadcasting will have more from Sands and those in attendance in upcoming newscasts. And we are going to have to step away here for just a moment. Don't go anywhere. We've got more news coming up right after this on Western Iowa's information leader, KCIM.
Mackey Motors Body Shop, this is Jason. How can I help you?
Hi, Jason. Do you guys fix vehicles after a minor incident?
We do. How minor are we talking?
My husband says it's barely noticeable.
Okay.
But the dog won't walk past the truck.
That's usually a bad sign.
And the neighbor asked if we were starting a demolition business.
That's even worse.
And my husband is standing in the driveway saying, "That'll buff out."
Ma'am, is he holding a shop vac?
Yeah, how'd you know?
Take it away from him immediately.
Okay, can you fix the truck?
Absolutely. Mackey Motors Body Shop fixes dents, dings, scratches, collision damage, hail damage, paint, glass, and we work with your insurance company.
Sounds great. Can you fix my husband?
Ma'am, we're a body shop, not a miracle shop. We fix the damage, not the story. Mackey Motors Lake City. Together, let's drive.
Highlight home from Mid-Iowa Real Estate, 1727 Birch. New price at this well-maintained two-bedroom, one-bath home with everything you need on one level. Kitchen comes complete with all appliances and washer and dryer included. An oversized attached garage provides plenty of room for parking, storage, or a workshop area. Situated on a quiet street, this property offers a peaceful setting. 1727 Birch Street with a new price of $184,000. This is Holly Schreck with another quality offering from Mid-Iowa Real Estate. Take your tour at midiowateam.com.
Welcome back to KCIM's Midday News. I'm Nathan Cones reporting. Explore five new creations from Iowa artists this weekend down in Coon Rapids. Sue and Jim Heenstra will be unveiling five recently installed large-scale ceramic structures in a sculpture walk at White Rock Conservancy this Saturday. Visitors can move at their own pace, exploring the artwork as well as visiting with Sue and Jim Heenstra, who will be there in person. And those two are obviously the Iowa artists behind the fixtures. Comfortable walking shoes are recommended as guests explore the artwork on the trail. The walk concludes at the Hilltop Gathering Area, where attendees can enjoy fresh watermelon and participate in a special Poems and Polaroids pop-up hosted by Lemonade Studios. This project, known as Markers and Deep Roots, comes as part of a larger regional exhibition presented in recognition of America's semi-quincentennial. Declarations as a regional public art exhibition unfolding across central and southwest Iowa through September of 2026. Created in recognition of America's 250th anniversary, the exhibition brings artists and communities together through site-specific installations. The free event begins at 1 p.m. at White Rock Conservancy, 1391 Highway 141 in Coon Rapids on August 1st and is open to the public. The sculptures will be up through August for viewing. For more information, you can check out the full podcast with Assistant News Director Miles Brewer and Sue and Jim Heenstra on our website at 1380kcim.com. The Stone Pier Summer Concert Series continues this weekend on Saturday up in Lakeview. Jason Scott and the High Heat, an Americana and Roots rock band from Oklahoma City, will take the stage with Florida-based singer and songwriter Leon Majkin for the season's third concert at 5:30 p.m. Saturday night. The Stone Pier Summer Concert Series is Lakeview's free outdoor concert series situated just beside Black Hawk Lake and continues its 16th annual season this Saturday on the Stone Pier stage. For more information, you can visit stonepierconcertseries.com. The completion date for the Sci-Town development between Jack Trice Stadium and Hilton Coliseum in Ames has been moved back. Iowa State University General Counsel Mike Norton gave an update to the Board of Regents recently.
We had suggested that we'd be done fourth quarter 27. It's probably slipped into 28 now. So we're a little bit behind where we were before.
Norton says there is some positive news on that front.
We were thinking that the hotel would be, you know, significantly behind the rest of the development construction. I think it's that is tightening up where the hotel and the rest of the construction will be closer together in time in completion.
Norton says some of the delay has been in reworking the contract with developer Goldenrod, so the university will handle the construction of the amphitheater. He says they've raised contributions of $12 million for what's expected to be an $18 million price tag for that venue. An updated projection shows ISU will make about $172 million of net revenue from overall operations over 30 years with a 90% occupancy rate. That's down from the $184 million initial revenue projection, and largely due to construction cost increases. They do have a revenue guarantee with the developer, and Norton says they've looked at the worst-case scenario for occupancy.
So at 50% occupancy over 30 years, basically the the revenue becomes zero, to the net revenue becomes zero, but all the costs are still accounted for and paid. So even at 50% occupancy, there'd be no risk of the revenue guarantee coming into play against the university.
Norton says they believe that worst case scenario is highly unlikely.
We have a lot of confidence in our ability to maintain, you know, a much higher level of occupancy than that dire kind of prediction or worst case scenario.
The groundbreaking for SciTown is set for September 2nd, and Norton expects to have more concrete timelines on the project's progress by then. And that is going to be wrapping up your look at KCIM's Midday News for this Friday, July 31st, 2026. For these stories and many more, you can always check us out online by following us on Facebook, on the web at 1380kcim.com, or through our Carroll Broadcasting mobile app that's available for free on Google Play and the Apple App Store. I'm Nathan Cohns reporting, wishing you a great weekend.